Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience and those tuning in online around the world. We're glad that you all could be with us as well. Our next guest has written a book that I think all of you, no matter where you are or what your interest, you're going to find something in this book you're going to love. We're excited to welcome author Amber Garza to our program. She's the author of the new book, When I Was You. We're going to talk to Amber not only about the writing of the book, but also what it's been like for her to take some very interesting what-if questions in the bring them to life in this fascinating story that I think will have you really racing through the pages. I've already written my review on Amazon.com. For those who are just finding out about it, we'll let you guys know how to get your own copy of it. But Amber, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, look, so a lot for us to talk about, but I want to begin with where we are now. I mean, the book just came out, but the reviews are already coming in, even before the official release this week. What has it been like for you to see the way that readers are really taken to these characters?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, it's funny because it's such a long process, you know, so it was sold over a year ago. So you wait all this time, and so in some ways it feels like it's never going to happen, you know, It's this date in the future that might happen, you know, and now that it actually is out and people are reading it and loving it, which, you know, you never know because reading is objective. But it's just been amazing to see that people are understanding it. They're grasping the concept, you know, they're getting things about it that, you know, like I felt very deeply and some people are feeling that same way about it. So it's just really cool.
Yeah. Well, I think the interesting thing is, and people who pick up the book and read the back, the first part of what I'm going to talk to you about definitely is no spoiler, but I already said to you before we went on here, one of the great challenges of doing this show after reading a book is to not ruin it for anyone else. I'm going to definitely
right.
not do that. But I want to talk about the what if question, because what we find out even on the back of the book is that you have these two women sharing the same name. I mean, how did the what if kind of come to you?
Okay, so there's another Amber Garza in my town, and I've known about her for about 10 years. I would sign into my gym. You know, we used to have, like, the little key fobs, and you'd scan it in. And every time I scanned mine in, they would say, what's your birth date? But they wouldn't ask my husband that or my kids that or anyone else in line. And so finally, one day, I said, why do you always ask me what my birth date is? And they said, well, because there's another Amber Garza who also, you know, works out here. And when you guys come up on the screen, you look very similar. So it's just easier instead of going into each account if we ask you your birthday. So then that's later that year, I was at my doctor's once and they were like, oh, another Amber Garza was here a couple weeks ago. And, you know, back then we had Blockbuster Video and I would get my video and they'd always say, which Amber Garza are you? You know? And so I always knew of her. We've never met. But I remember one day just thinking, this would be great fodder for fiction. Like, this could be a really great psychological thriller. What if two women with the same name in the same town knew of each other, then they end up meeting and wanted each other's lives, is kind of like the idea that I had.
Wow. And what has come in this book, When I Was You, is so amazing. So I cannot wait for people who haven't read it to read it. So Amber, I have to ask you, so there was the genesis of this idea. But what was it like being to slip into the skin of these women? Because for those who haven't read it, the great thing about the book is it's written in first person, so we're able to kind of experience the world as each mm-hmm. Kelly does. What was that like for you?
Right. So Kelly 1, I always call them Kelly 1 and Kelly 2, and Kelly 1 is the one we start with. It was always so hard for me to differentiate when talking to people. So Kelly 1 is the older Kelly, the one we start out the book with. And Kelly 1 is in her 40s. She's an empty nester struggling with having a 19-year-old son away at college, and her husband works in the Bay Area. And she was the one that came the most naturally to me because I'm in my 40s. When I wrote the book, my son was 19, and actually my husband was working out of town at the time. And I was struggling with a lot of these questions like, who am I as a woman outside of my children and my husband? And struggling with the change in relationship with my kids and struggling with some loneliness. And so I really felt like with her, I was able to process a lot of my own emotions. Obviously, I took it to a very heightened level. I don't have the crazy side of Kelly, I'll say. But just being able to process through that side of her. And so she was, for me, the easiest to, like you said, slip into the skin. I love that phrase. And she was the easiest for me. Kelly, too, is young. She's in her 20s, has a baby, and took me a while, honestly, to find her voice. My first few drafts, I just felt like she was reading not very three-dimensional. And so one day I sat down and thought, I really need to figure out Kelly 2 to make her feel as real as Kelly 1 was feeling to me. And when she really became alive to me was when I thought, how would a 20-year-old make fun of me? Like, what would a 20-year-old think was silly about me? Because you know how the two women, you've read it. So Kelly 2 is very snarky, and she makes fun of Kelly 1 a lot in her dialogue and in her internal thoughts. And so I started to think about the things that I do, like make charcuterie and drink wine with my friends. And, you know, like the life that I live is so different than like a 20-year-old. And so once I really thought about that, like basically making fun of myself, then she became very real to me. And it actually was super fun to write.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to read. And I have to say, but, you know, so I can say this, I think, Amber, without spoiling anything. And I think you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I think one of the big lessons from this book, by the time you get to the end, is that the old adage, looks can be deceiving. Because, you know, you might have an idea of, as the story unfolds, about who is good, right? I'll say that more in a general way, and you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But by the end of the book, you're like, I give up. I don't know. I mean, how much fun was that for you to kind of play with the idea of what we call good and bad?
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely loved that. And I loved kind of just the tilting it on its axis, right? Like, you think one thing and then it's not that thing, but then you're not sure it's the thing you're thinking now. You
right.
know, like it keeps changing. And it was really fun to just play around with that. And I think that overall, I really did want the reader to end the book really empathizing with both women. I don't know that there was a bad or a good, right? Like, they both were kind of bad and good at the same time.
Yeah.
And I
right.
think that's all of us. And so I kind of did want it to end with, like, there's no true villain. I mean, I won't say anything, but another character probably was the villain, but not these two women. They had villainous qualities for sure, but they weren't villains, you know?
Yeah. That, I'm so glad you said that and not me, because I will say this to go along with that, and I'm sure I'm going to get messages about this later, but I think, too, to that point, how someone can make us become something that we didn't think we were. Because I don't think we saw, I mean, in the way I don't think we saw Kelly 2 becoming who Kelly 2 became. You know what I mean?
Right.
But some people may say the same thing about Kelly 1, but I think how circumstances and people, you know, can make us, you know, or at least aid us or help us to justify, maybe that's a better way of saying becoming a certain way. We're going to talk more about that. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Amber Garza is our guest for this segment. Having a great conversation with Amber about her brand new book that's out this week, When I Was You. It's available now. They're our friends at Amazon.com. I love this cover of this book, too. And again, going into the book, I had an idea of what it was about from the pitch I had gotten, Amber. But then actually reading it, I was like, oh, this is really good. I mean, this is really good. So I have to ask you this question on a personal note, though. Was it hard for you to let them go? Because, I mean, you give us so much of each one of these women, and you allow us to see how they have gotten to the place where they are. Was it hard for you to let them go?
Let them go in the sense of, like, when I sold the book or – getting out of my mind.
Well, yeah, getting out of your mind once you kind of came to the end.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I definitely felt like with this book, more so than any book I've written, to be honest, I did give so much of myself in these characters. And I've even shared with a few other interviewers that this was kind of my last chance novel. Like, I've been writing for 17 years, and this was, like, the year that, like, I really needed to figure out my career and get a full-time job because I've been pursuing this dream for so long. But my husband said, you have this great idea. Write this book and see, you know, if you can sell it to a big five publisher. And so I felt like the need and desperation that are in these women, I felt like came from the desperation and need I was feeling when I wrote the book. And so I felt like I did, I felt like I gave a lot. Like when I read the book back through the last time, I literally cried through the whole, reading the whole book. I just felt like so much of me is in these women and so much of how I felt in that moment. But when I finished, it was this beautiful thing of like just releasing that. Like now I've written it, I've gotten all this out, I've processed through my feelings with my son, I've processed through my feelings with my career, and I almost felt like spent, you know, by the end of it. And so it honestly felt good to finally go, this book is where I want it, and I can like lay it aside and move on from the characters. But I don't think I'll ever move on from them. Like I think about the Kellys all the time.
Got you. Well, I mean, and readers will too. For one thing, you'll know that these are two women. I don't know if you want to cross for sure, but definitely, you know. But it also makes you, again, because of the way it's written, though, Amber, makes you say anybody can be a Kelly. Is that also kind of what you think the reader will end up with? That in many senses, we could all end up being a Kelly.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's why I really wanted to explore. In this domestic suspense, I wanted to explore more the mother-son relationship rather than, like, you know, have it be about a husband and wife. Because even though definitely Raphael, her husband, has, you know, he's a reason for a lot of this. But really the biggest relationship for both these women are their son, is their son. And I felt like that is such great like it's great fodder for fiction, the mother-son relationship, because I do think that there's a madness that can come in that relationship if you let it, if you blur the line at all, you know? And so I felt like that was an easy way for me to see these women kind of going a little bit that way, was into that madness, was with their love and their need to protect their son.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's interesting hearing you talk about that, because we're able to see with one Kelly, and readers have to wait until they read the book to see how, you know, being able to provide something that they weren't able to provide or get from their own father. I'm so glad you mentioned, though, the son relationship, because I do want to ask you this part, because I think if there's a broader thing I thought about. I don't have any kids of my own, Amber, but one thing I thought about that does come across in this book as we're kind of thinking about the children is being judged. You know, no one wants to be said to be a bad anything, definitely not a bad parent, right? I mean, and that's something that comes up in this book about being feeling judged. Or feeling the need to, you know, to make sure. What was that like for you as a parent to be able, I mean, to find that connection there about, you know, trying to be your best and do your best, even if others don't see it that way?
Right. Well, I think, being mom shamed is a real thing. And I think as moms, we've all experienced it. We've done it to ourselves probably more often than anyone's done it to us, right? But I think you definitely feel that judgment. And maybe other women don't even mean to do it, but even just like, I was always the creative mom, so I wasn't great at like remembering my kids' schedules. My husband would have to remind me of what they were doing, or I wasn't the mom making science projects in the backyard, you know. But I would have friends that were just great at that, or, you know, and I would feel a lot of shame in that. Like, why am I not more like them? And at some point when my kids got older, I realized like, I'm the perfect mom for them. Like I do my best, right?
Right.
And I felt like in this book, it was kind of that same thing, right, where Kelly one just seemed to want, she was shaming in her own internal dialogue the other Kelly, who I feel like really was doing her best.
Yeah.
So I was hoping that was coming through as I was writing some of those scenes. I thought, I hope the reader knows I'm not shaming this other mom. I really was trying to show that how we do that as women. And certainly the other way around, Kelly two would shame Kelly one about the way that she was, you know, raising her son. So, I definitely think that's an issue that we face as women. And I did want to, that was an intentional thing that I wanted to do in the book.
Yeah. you have been able to garner, a sizable fan base even before this book, Amber. But it was interesting hearing you say, because I wasn't expecting you to say what you said here, and that was how much you felt like was on this particular book. Now that you've seen the response, and of course ending 2019 the way that you did, you know, getting the praise of Will Packer, who we've had on this program, and you know, being able to hear what he thought about the book, do you feel as though you did what not only you wanted to do, but felt like you needed to do?
Yes. Even greater than I was hoping for, to be honest. I never in my wildest dreams thought I would sell, you know, the film rights, or, you know, that I would end up with Mira HarperCollins, which is just an amazing publisher. And I have, I'm working with the Gernert Company, which is an agency that I had dreamt of working with for, you know, the last 15 years. So it definitely exceeded my expectations.
Well, I tell you, it's a powerful book. There's so much I wish I could say, but I can't say. But okay, so let's widen out a little bit. So before I do say something, so let's talk about. I mean, such a great story. I mean, like I said, such great praise, you know, from notables even before the release. But you are dealing with the rest of us in this, I said earlier, this, you know, nationwide pandemic. Well, it really is a worldwide pandemic. I mean, what has it been like for you? This definitely is a different book release week for you, I'm sure. How have you been navigating the new normal when it comes to releasing a book?
Yeah, you know, a few months ago, I did go through a period of time where I had to kind of mourn all of the things I wasn't going to be able to do. At first, I felt really selfish even admitting that, you know, because it's not about me, what's happening in the world. But I finally had to kind of face, like, okay, it's okay for me to feel sad for a couple days and allow myself these feelings, because I'm not going to be able to travel and I'm not going to get to meet my fans in person. And we had like a big launch party planned, my husband and I, with all my friends and family that we had to cancel. And so I allowed myself a couple days to feel sad. And then I just was like, okay, you did that. Now you can move on. And I just haven't allowed myself to think about what I'm missing out on. Instead, I've just been letting myself get excited about what I do get to have. And, you know, it's funny, Cyrus, because yesterday was like, it really was like one of the best days of my whole life. Like, it went so great. And I didn't get to do any of the things I had originally planned, but it was a beautiful day. And I was telling my husband last night that I feel like one thing that this pandemic really has done for us is I feel like we're all very cognizant of, like, of each other and what each other needs. And I feel like people rallied around me, like, all around the world. I was getting pictures and texts and phone calls, and people were taking pictures in bookstores with my book. And maybe that would have happened anyway, but I do feel like there is, like, this this beautiful rallying around each other that we're all doing right now to try to bolster each other during this trying time, because we're all struggling right now, you know?
Yeah.
So I do think there's a lot of beauty that's coming from this that I didn't even anticipate.
Well, I have to say, I just, Amber, I tell you this, we're going to have a conversation after the conversation about this. because there's so many little things, but I don't want to, again, I don't want to go into that, because that'll be going into things we don't need to be going to when, you know, when people are still reading the book. But in the meantime, I definitely encourage our audience to head over to Amazon.com or their favorite bookstore and get their copy of When I Was You by Amber Garza. It really is a page turner. I'm not just saying that. It will grab you from the very first chapter. And again, I said to Amber before we went on here, I did not see the end coming. You know, even if it wasn't already going to become a movie, you know, I would say, Amber, this will be a great movie.
Thank you so much.
So I will ask you this question, though. Again, we can talk about this vaguely. Is this the ending you had already planned, or did this evolve as the story evolved? Or are you a planner when it comes to writing? I didn't ask you that.
Yeah, it really depends on the project. With this one, I really didn't plan a lot. I wrote a lot of different drafts, which a lot of different things happened before it really clicked into place with the three parts and everything. I knew the ending pretty early on when I understood Kelly. I'll be honest, I kind of tried to buck against it. I didn't know if the readers would like it or if it would maybe go too dark. So I kept thinking, should I really do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? But every time I thought that, I just kept thinking it was so authentic to Kelly. Like, it was such an authentic ending in my mind. I just couldn't see another ending. So I end up going there. But yeah, I kind of had a sense that it would go that direction the whole time.
Wow, amazing. Well, look, I definitely encourage people, if you guys have not read it, definitely go over and get your own copy of it. Share your thoughts on Amazon. As I mentioned, I've already posted my review. And Amber, how can our audience stay connected with you and kind of keep up with the journey going forward?
Oh, yeah. I'm very active on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. I'm Amber Garza, author. And on Twitter, I'm Amber, M as in Mary, G as in Garza, and then the number one.
Well, I told you this time flies by, Amber, and it really has been great. Looking forward to staying connected with you online. And definitely congratulations to you and all the success with this. And looking forward to our next conversation together.
Well, thank you so much.
Hey, more than welcome. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's make it amazing. Take care.